mama.
Ooh. Okay, well, if we're going to go as normally as possible, I'm going to hit this button.
Here we go.
Can you hear that?
What should I do and how should I do it? I got a problem and I got to get through it. Who should I talk to? Who should I see? What book should I check out of the library? Yeah, but I don't read, so I watch the TV. I see what Hulu has to offer me. I got Netflix and Amazon Prime. I got more options than I got time. I just need a little distraction to keep my mind off my lack of action. I just need a little TV so I can forget completely. Forget completely.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Life's a Binge. I'm Jared.
I'm BJ.
I am Rich.
And I'm Matt.
Woohoo! And it's only been, like, you know, a week or so since you've last heard our voices.
Our faces. Yeah.
And by a week, I mean, like, 2.5, almost 3 months. But, you know, that's what happens when the world's on fire and other things are happening, like babies and... babies. Indeed.
There's 300% more babies now.
Indeed.
I don't have enough hands for all the new babies in this group. So that tells you. No.
It's legit. But thanks out there for listening and liking and supporting the show and all that fun stuff. Yeah, we're going to try and make this somewhat of a normal episode, but not really. It's probably just going to be a big old fat version of What's Up, I'm guessing. So with that being said, let's hit the What's Up button. Where is it?
What's up?
What's up? What's up?
So, since we last
spoke. Not frozen.
What is up with everybody? BJ?
Well, my friends had babies and what else? Man, it is summer's over. Like, this is the next weekend is the holiday and ending summer. And SeaWorld just opened day before yesterday, which is interesting.
Did they open all the way or just on weekends? Or I thought it was just on weekends and I thought it was just for this one event thing. What's up?
I haven't been brought back, so I don't know exactly. I kind of see it on the news. I did look in on my Seaport, which is like your employee kind of posting place. They had an announcement from the, of course, interim CEO, which is always like the case, that SeaWorld was going to be focusing their resources on the zoological aspect of it. And that had to do with them. I don't know if you heard that or not, but that they actually reopened as a zoo and not under the laws of a zoo like the San Diego Zoo does. So they don't have any of their indoor... they don't have any of their indoor facilities. I really don't know. My sister-in-law actually did get hired to go back. And our friend Sid got hired back as well. Both
you need Sid. You need Sid working the fry there. I mean, it's not SeaWorld without him. Like, those breakfast sandwiches.
That makes the whole thing better, you know, I think, for everybody involved. At least you guys got Sid there.
It was a Sid day. I mean, that was a good day.
Agreed. So I just worked yesterday for my last day of the summer at the zoo, which was nice. You guys remember Clint, the regular at SeaWorld? He's got a palsy.
Oh yeah.
And his mom or dad usually would bring him by. And so I think I talked before about going to Clint's show at Arms Wide Open Theater. You know, we talked about that. She gave me a call the other day because she does that, just wants to talk, and she says, you know, Clint misses you and such. And so they came out to the driveway show last Sunday, which was
awesome.
A week ago. It was really cool. It was really cool. And I sang the Soap Zone song for him. And it was really cool. It was really cool. And then they actually came to my Zoo set yesterday as well. As well as some other kind of regulars. So the driveway shows have been a lot of fun. Even though last time we played, the band across the street kind of really stepped up their game.
Is there a term for that? Is there some sort of term for when?
When you get just stomped,
upstaged.
Upstaged. We were definitely upstaged, but it was, I mean, it's so fun anyway. And we do two different things, but it was really exciting because they're really, really good musicians. And the little team that they put together, this black woman vocalist is really, really good, who just happened to stumble upon them playing in the driveway. You know, some weeks, months ago when we were first starting to do it. And then that's how they got together. And then they hooked up with these two saxophone players. They added a bass player and they practice, they rehearse, they get together and try their songs out.
Aha.
Anyway, it was inspiring to just focus in and raise our game. But it's super fun. Maddie, which one's this now? Is this little Matt Jr.?
This is Mateo. This
child.
Mateo.
Oh.
Hi, Mateo. Oh, my goodness.
He's got his little monkey right jammies on right now.
I remember when mine was that small.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. We're still not sleeping, but, you know. It's great. It's really great.
Nobody else is. Yeah. He's doing it a different way.
It will happen, I promise.
How's it been, Matt? I mean, like, you know, parenthood, it's two times thrown on top of you like that.
I mean, it's definitely been a challenge, but it's also really, really, I mean, it's the cliche thing. It's a challenge, but it's rewarding. But like, it really, really is. It's like the hardest, best thing that I've ever had to do. The feedings are still like constant, where it's getting up versus like every 2 hours. And so just like being able to sleep the night hasn't happened yet. But my wife Serena and I have been like, we're kind of devising little like schedules, and so we'll take shifts, which is really hard with twins because then you have to offset them, so you can do one at a time to get them on a schedule, and they also sometimes just kind of sync back up, and so you have to figure out how to feed two babies at the exact same time. And so we've got like little things where well, we got like this like Doc-a-Tot where they just, it's like this little kind of little soft cushiony basket thing where you can just put the baby in there. And so you can have like one baby in there and then like put the bottle over the edge. And then, so they're kind of like hamster feeding themselves while you got like the other one, or maybe like in this like little boppy thing, or, you know, kind of doing one like these things and like holding another one. So it's definitely like, it's a lot, but it's also one of those things where I didn't realize like, oh my gosh, I could love something this much. And it's,
it's a trip. Yeah.
What if really you used one of those like baseball game drinking hats, right? But not, don't put beer in there, obviously.
That's a great idea.
And just have two different straws with nipples on the, like, come on.
That's a great idea.
$1 million idea. It's probably already a thing. I'm sure someone has already made that.
Yeah, it's just, sure they have. It's just finding like ways to engineer feeding twins and all that. But it's really good. I do feel like being a parent of twins kind of puts you on like the VIP list of parents. because everybody is like, no matter like where it is, it's like, whoa, twins, you have twins? That's great. And they just like will start talking about things, or like it's the most interesting thing. And there's been like a couple of times where, you know, we've had to like call the Kaiser helpline because we're like worried about like, oh no. Also like the, I never knew like babies did things that, and it was just like normal for them to do. But like intermittent breathing, which is like really scary, but it's also, it's because the body's like learning how to breathe now because you're not in, not in the womb anymore. But that was like a scary thing at first. And we were like calling the Kaiser helpline going, what's going on? We just had twins. And then they're like, oh, okay. Well, wait, you have twins? Oh my gosh, that's so cool. And you're like, yeah, are they going to be okay?
Not why I'm calling.
Yeah. I'll take the compliments later. Help me, please.
But, yeah, twins?
I could see twins. This isn't a good table. Get this couple of nice table. They have twins here. Move them to the front of the line here.
But yeah, probably one of my favorite stories of that is when they're first born, because I have a boy and a girl. They had their own little pouches, and during when they're still in the hospital, we had the nurse who comes in and gives them like little sponge baths. So she comes in, she gives them their little sponge bath, which they hated. And then afterwards, she's like, oh my gosh, you have twins. Are they identical? And I was like, no, one of them has a penis. Pretty sure you just saw it.
Oh, good times. Good times. But yes, the tiredness does go away. I can't speak to having two of them, but, you know, they do get older and they do start to do more things by themselves. Not by themselves, but, you know, sleep.
They sleep. Cullen's already making his own breakfast.
They sleep. It's basically the thing that I'm getting at. They will go to sleep eventually.
How long was it for you before they started sleeping longer?
He's only been sleeping through the night for about a month now, and today he's officially 7 months old, so it was about 6 months before he really got really good at sleeping.
Okay.
But I mean, that was when, that's what I'm counting when he sleeps through the night, literally all night, but it was probably around 3 months when he'd like go to sleep and then wake up in the middle of the night to eat and then go back to sleep. But he would only wake up the once, so.
Oh, okay.
But now he doesn't wake up at all. But don't ever count on that to mean anything for you, because literally nothing means anything. And everyone will be like, oh, my kid was sleeping at 2 weeks old. And you're like, well, first of all, you're a liar. And second of all, yeah, well, my kid's different than your kid. So that's nice of your kid to do that. But so it's crazy. My kid's walking already. That's good for your kid. My kid's not, so shut up about it. Yeah, anyway.
That's going to be infuriating.
It is.
My child does blah.
I don't care. This one doesn't.
Exactly. Like, he will eventually. Yeah, he'll do that eventually.
Good for you.
Yeah, it's the... It's the having kids version of asking your newly married people, hey, when are you going to have kids? Hey, Rich, when you and Lindsay going to have kids? You're like, never. You're like, stop asking me. That's rude.
It's been a while. It's been a little while since anybody has asked me that, actually. I've not heard those words in a while. Maybe the people finally starting to get the point, or everyone who wanted to ask already has and has.
Right. Or they just know. Don't ask them.
Which will destroy you.
Yeah. What's up with you, man? What have you been doing? Other than, you know, getting and opening a studio.
This is what I've been doing. Yes, I had that ready. That's not what he's saying. Did you know this?
I know it's called Susudio.
Yeah.
What, Studio.
That's what he's saying. That's the lyric. The lyric is Sue Studio.
Did you think it was studio or what?
Yes, like 80% of the rest of humanity. That's what I thought.
But
it was.
But it's written. I mean, I don't know because it's written out Sue Studio, like is the name. So I don't know. Yeah. That's so.
Yeah, it always, a lot of people but get I, written. They're like, is he saying, why is he singing about the music studios? Like, what?
I get it. He was stuck. Nice place, he was stuck, like, writing. Stuck so they're there. Like, yeah, they're up against the time frame there. They're like, yeah. We need a lyric here. I don't know. Studio?
Yeah, that works. Like, is that a thing?
Stop looking at your feet. Like, I don't know.
No, that's all I've been up to is. I ended up getting everything up and running the schedule, making sure that no one's crossing over, booking people so that I can pay for it, which has worked out really, really well so far. Fingers crossed it keeps doing that, knock on wood, whatever you know, throw some salt over your shoulder, whatever you believe. It's been great. It's awesome. It's really cool to be able to like go in the night before, set everything up, leave it, right? Come back the next day and just, do the dance and be charming and press the button. Like, it's great. It's amazing. It's fantastic. I highly recommend it. Have your own space.
Yeah.
It's your own space.
It's so cool. It's so cool.
A guy called me. He's a headshot photographer in Boston and like a great dude, does lots of real estate photography too. So it's like, who's established, right? Like set up. And he was like hemming and hawing, like, I don't know if I should like get my own space and blah, blah, blah. Cause he's been doing pretty much the same thing that I was doing before. Which is using somebody else's space, and he'd have to like break everything down and drive it home, and then for the next year put it back on a car and then drive it back over there, and it's, which is not a huge deal, like it's doable, it's fine. I don't want to bitch about it too much, but it's just not the same as being able to just stroll in and then everything's just there, and it's just the space that you have your name on, like quite literally. And he's like, "Should I do it?" I'm like, yes, do it yesterday, and plus you'll never be able to negotiate better real estate rates than you can right now because nobody is signing leases right now, so they are desperate.
Huh?
Yeah. What were you gonna say, BJ?
I bet it looks awesome too. Just from your own business standpoint,
for sure.
Kind of walk into a studio and have everything set up. I mean, that's always just an impressive look, you know. And someone opens the door, and lights, and you know, and scenery are set up, and
absolutely,
you know. That you know,
it's definitely like it legitimizes you in the same way, in the eyes of other people, the same way that like when you get married or when you have children, you're having this conversation. So it's like, oh yeah, my kid's like, oh, you have kids? Oh, that's cool. Look at you. You're a real adult. Interesting. when I write back in an email, yeah, you just drop by the studio. I'm like, oh, he has a studio. Oh, that's nice. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they walk in and they see it all set up. They're like, huh, this is a legit place.
Legit. It's real.
For me, it'd be like my studio apartment that I have to clean out.
Some people do that. Studio. Some people do that and still have spaces. I know a guy who lives in his space in London. It's like not too far from like King's Cross. And it's, you know, it's in an urban center and he lives in the studio, but it works. But, you know, it's varying degrees. And as long, it has to be like a dirty-ish kind of warehousey kind of vibe because that like, lends itself to the picture that people already have in their minds of like what an artist studio should look like. Like the neighborhood should be slightly unsafe and the building should be mostly run down and we have a freight elevator, like all the stereotypes. Like, it hits all those, which is great.
That's cool.
That's so cool.
Yeah, it's been fun. That's what's up with me. That's the majority of my time has been going to that.
Nice.
Yup.
So I had something interesting happen. I'm sorry, Jared, were you about to tell a story?
Nope.
Okay. So I kind of like talked about it like a little bit, like on Facebook, I was telling Rich about this. We got together the other night, but maybe you guys saw, I did some stuff with my dad on the page, White People Doing Something. I don't know if you ever saw that or not, but I don't know. I tried to share it as much as I could, but it's a page that kind of came up after George Floyd. And turns out that the two women, who's a lesbian couple who started it, turns out that they're friends with my neighbor, Becky. And so they have like 30,000 people or so on their page and such. And so I kind of reached out to them to kind of do some stuff together, do some video and media together, which we did. And it was great. And I get a call from the girl who's one of the leaders who we've kind of struck up a relationship. And she was like asking how things are going. And I think I'd mentioned before that my dad and I are starting a nonprofit that we're working on. And so she was asking how that was going. And then she's like, well, you know, I just wanted to reach out to you because we have a lot of people that I know who are kind of doers and getting things done and making things happen. A lot of them, thing they have in common is they've all taken this training that I've taken as well called Land Forum Training. So that's like I was reaching out to people saying, hey, what's this about? So she tried to tell me about it and sell me on it so kind of aggressively that she was like, if you put a deposit down right now, you can secure your place later. And I was this close to just out of respect for our relationship thus far to go through with it, just to like as a token of like appreciation of for everything. And then at the last minute, I was like, let me just Google this. and it's crazy, and it's culty, and it's trippy. And just interestingly enough, I don't know who has HBO, but HBO just started a series called The Vow, which is about this group called Nexium, which I had never heard of, which is the almost exact same thing as this. As what I've been, what I heard, and it's super interesting, and it's just this. It's a trip, kind of delving into sort of fringe cult thinking, you know, especially in the guise of like helpful, you know, personal growth things. So it's been fascinating, and if you don't get a chance to watch this show, there's only one episode so far, it's going to be a series, but The Vow on HBO kind of covers a lot, and I'm hooked in it to it now because I want to see where they go.
Gotcha.
And they do. Yeah. Now I'm in the cult of HBO.
So when we sat down the other day, I don't know if it was you said it or I said it, BJ, but we brought up the point, like, if something is so great, like, why the hard sell?
Right.
Like, if it's hard so sell. Great, why are you trying so hard to sell me on it? It can't be that good. Otherwise, I would just do it. And I'd see it how good it is, obviously.
But wait, I haven't got to the good part yet.
We got invited to our old landlord, like the year after we moved out of their place, and they moved back from Minnesota, back into the place that we were living in. We became friends with them, and we hang out with them, and we go to dinner with them every now and then. And they invited us. They're like, oh, we're going to have some friends over to the apartment for dinner. You guys should come by. We're like, oh, cool. That sounds great. Web of lies. It was all a multi-level marketing sales pitch meeting. Oh, I'm so mad. I like these people. And like, I think they're smart people. I'm like, why are we doing this? Ugh. Needless to say, whatever scheme it was, she was in it for like a month before she realized, oh yeah, this is nonsense. I'm like, that's, yes.
So have any of you guys ever heard of the movie, you're right there?
Jared, you glitched out of existence for a second there.
That's funny. Have you ever heard of the movie, What the Bleep Do We Know? Uh-uh. No? Okay. So it came out like in the early 2000s, so it's probably like 17, 18 years old or so. But it's kind of a half documentary, half dramatization, about like intention mixed with some kind of quantum physics science about stuff, which is interesting. And so, one of the things that they talk about is, maybe you guys have heard of it, they experiment where they had like bottles of water, and on the bottles of water they would write a different word on it, and so one would be like love, fear, and hatred, negative things, negative words on there. And that, so when people would look at it and read it, they would have certain thoughts about that water or just what they're looking at. So that's what they're thinking when they're looking at it. Then they took out water from each one in molecules and compared them. And just the way that the molecules looked compared to the words that were written on the outside of the jar made a drastic difference in how they how the molecules kind of look. Some of them like looked in gross disarray, and the other ones looked like they were beautiful. It's really powerful kind of example of like the power of thoughts and the power of words, and how that carries real energy that affects things. So enjoyed. The dude who did the movie is the centerpiece of this HBO show. So it's a little bit of a connection to this cult. And he's the one who was into it, and now he's since kind of come out of it. And this whole series is his story, I think, about pushing that forward. So
You're not trying to get us to join this cult, are you, BJ? Because it's almost like you're getting a little set up there.
No, there's just so there's two different ones. I will try to get you to join the cult of HBO. So
I left the cult. Join me.
HBO or HBO Max?
What is the difference between all of the HBOs? Because you can get, and this is something that I think, like, this is what's gonna make the streaming wars collapse into disarray. If there are even streaming wars, if you can call them that. Like on each channel or each service, like if you have Hulu or like Amazon Video or Apple TV, or I don't even know how it works for Apple TV because I don't have that, but like you can add premium channels. Like I could add HBO to my Amazon Video, or I can add I don't know if you can do that with Hulu, but you can add other like Showtime to Hulu or things like that. Or you could just get HBO's like own service, and if you get just that, like, is that different than getting the channel on another service? Like, I don't understand.
Remember, like in the original, just the cable days, there's like HBO and then HBO2, and
yes,
and so like they had like your premium channels, but then you also had like or like Cinemax and like
mm-hmm.
all these other ones. So I'm wondering if that's kind of the same thing, and what seems to be is like with HBO, there's not the same shows, or HBO Max has like different shows on there. So I know that one of the reasons why we got it was to check out Amy Schumer's, like she had this whole special documenting her pregnancy, which was actually, it's really, really cool. It's really funny, but it's just like, it's not like a comedy special or anything. It's just her and her husband kind of going through her pregnancy, which is like pretty crazy.
Right.
And then there was like this other show that popped up that we enjoyed watching. It's called, what's that show, Serena?
Search Party,
yes.
Yeah.
Search Party was with the girl. Maybe from Arrested Development. But yeah, so all of a sudden, like all this like really cool like programming started popping up. I haven't found it on like other HBO, although it could still be on there. I haven't really done that thorough of a search, but I'm just kind of wondering if there's like these sort of fringe elements of like, all right, you like our programming already. If you want to get this, you could check all this stuff out on HBO Max. Plus, you get all these NBC shows or something. They have like what, Friends and
Friends is on there, yeah.
But and then there's Peacock, which is free. But then I'm sure it's like probably one of those things that like starts out free. But
yeah.
Have you done Peacock, anybody? I've done it. I downloaded it and put
Sounds
it on
like
there.
You're talking about drugs.
Peacock. I did
Peacock
last night.
Dude, I'm peacocking right now. I'm peacocking my brains out now. But HBO Max, somehow, like, because we have HBO because we link to my mom and sisters in Oregon. So that's how I've always watched it for the past several years. And so now we would watch it on like PlayStation on HBO Go, but that doesn't exist or work anymore. And it's been replaced with HBO Max. So we have HBO Max somehow. And it's cool. I mean, there's a lot of cool stuff on it. They have Rick and Morty. They have South Park. They have Turner Classic Movies on there. So there's like Citizen Kane. That's how I watched the Singing in the Rain and some of the other classic movies that they have on there.
We need to talk about Fiddler on the Roof.
Dude, I'm all about it. Don't even get me started, dude.
Man, nothing has made me happier in this quarantine. Well, almost nothing has made me happier. But yeah. Second to you. But like you finding your love for Fiddler on the Roof. And how, because I felt that like in high school when I first watched it, and I was like, oh my gosh, with Topol and you. But yeah, this whole awakening with you, BJ, is awesome. I love it.
Well, you know, we grew up listening to that soundtrack, so I knew the music I'm like super familiar with, but the movie I was just like barely ever familiar with, and I don't ever remember watching it beginning to end. And I've never seen the play except when I was really little, like a junior high version of it, something like that.
Yeah.
So I never really had the story kind of unfold in front of me, and there was just a whole lot to kind of take in with it that I didn't really consider, like A, that this was Russia, because we're almost like taught to ignore Russia at every cost. Like growing up in the 80s, if that's how it felt, like you didn't learn anything, you know, about, you never saw images of Russia. All you knew was like, these were people who hated us. So it was kind of just, it was nice to like see that and know that like, these are just people over there. These are just like, Russia has a whole history that, and Andrea is a lot more familiar with it, which is really helpful. But the story that happens at Fiddler of the Roof and the, through the timeline that it takes place, and the music is just fucking brilliant. It's just money, money music. The melodies are, so many of these songs, the melody is so strong and it's just so emotional. It's great. So yeah, that's been a great discovery or rediscovery for sure.
So my very first audition I ever did, which is in high school for musical, was probably now a very culturally insensitive version of Before We Were Written. I probably emulated the stereo Russian, the Russian stereotype, maybe a little bit too much over the top, but that's what I did. I had a lot of fun with If I Were a Rich Man.
I thought you were going to say you overdid the Jewish part.
Probably too. Yeah, I was just there like, I was Topoling all over it, and I was I was living it.
Were you modeling it after what you saw on the
Absolutely.
On the movie?
There right was on. No other version in my mind other than what I saw. I'm like,
cool.
You can't sing this song without like your like hands. yeah. That doesn't exist. If you don't do it that way, it's wrong. That's what my little my high school acting brain was. It wasn't actually acting. It was like, go watch the movie, do that, and then you generally got the part.
Isn't that what everybody did in high school?
Yeah.
It's what I do now. So.
In Noises Off, I did an amazing Mark Lynn Baker.
There you go.
Well, it's funny because you know the music really well, and it's like Sound of Music. You grow up knowing the songs of Sound of Music, and then you go back and watch it as an adult, and you're like, oh, shit, this is all about escaping Nazis. Like,
yeah. It was exactly like that.
Whoopsie.
That same feeling, yeah. Because, we did the same thing. We grew up with that soundtrack, and then we watched the movie, and then for whatever reason, it didn't mean anything that these – soldiers, it just didn't mean anything. But you watch it as an adult, you're like, holy fuck, like, these are Nazis they're talking about.
Show up at his house and like he rips the flag in front of him, you're like, oh my god, like Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
People probably having, probably not the exact same, but somewhat of a similar response to watching Hamilton for the first time, having only, at least not the vast majority, but the majority of people I know had only ever heard the soundtrack and not seen it. And yeah, get to watch it finally. And you're like, what is this?
Yeah.
My brain exploded. And then I thought about it for way too long. And then I kept thinking about it for more. And then I kept thinking about it more. And then I kept noticing this. And then I noticed that. And I was like, wait a second. But these guys are doubles. And they're saying this. And this is saying, what? Like, it's mind-boggling. That show is mind-boggling.
It's stupid. It's stupid good. It's just crazy. Like, yeah, it's just, I'm in awe. Speaking of which, I'm kind of psyched about In the Heights movie when that comes out.
Oh my gosh.
I saw the Helix High School production of that some years ago. And was very impressed with their facilities and the talent and the production. And somehow or another, they got an original Broadway set of the bridge and the background to use for their production. Which
that makes me sick.
It made me a little sick too. Like the whole.
I went there. We had a little theater, and Matt Leskowood, as maybe some of us know, that's where we met, and we did all these shows in this like little kind of this old like dinkier theater, but it was nice because it was like this, you know, like a small little theater. Mm-hmm. And now I've caught a show over there, and it's just like this. They have two theaters. They have a black box theater, which no high school needs, and this like insane like performing arts. I think that it's just basically the performing arts center of East County now.
Huh.
It's fancy.
It's super fancy, but I was just like, these kids going there now.
Yeah. It was a little bit of like you spoiled shits, but at the same time, you know, we had a black box theater in our high school. I mean, it's called the Little Theater. We had the Little Theater and then we had the Big Theater. So I don't know. I always thought when I went to our school back in 1980 and 81, I thought it was the school of the future with all the stuff like theater classes and little theater and big theater. And we had TV monitors in every hallway, which seemed unheard of. And a TV studio where we did a TV broadcast. We did like a local, we did like a school news program out of the TV studio. It's to me, that's just crazy.
Yeah.
But
Woot. am I? Hello? Hello?
Hey. Yes.
I was like, I was weird hearing weird things in my headphones, and I'm not supposed to be able to hear myself. So how's everyone doing with the being at home all the time? Has anybody loosened up on that a little bit? Anybody starting to feel like maybe the world's coming back to normal, or is it still full lockdown for y'all?
I mean, I'm working. So I'll go into the studio and I'll shoot, but like I keep my mask on the whole time and I still don't get close to people. So there's no like, you know, oh, I'm going to fix your hair. Like you're on your own. You know, if you can come in looking good. But we still don't go, like North Park is very much like they're seating, you know, out in the streets and stuff and all in front of all the restaurants and people walking around for the most part are still pretty good about wearing masks, at least not good about keeping distance because it's impossible to do because there's restaurant seating on every sidewalk. So you have to either walk in the street or walk through like a bunch of tables of people, all of whom, you know, are not wearing masks because they're eating. And I'm just like, I can't see how this can be good. it just can't be good. Right. So we're not, I know plenty of people who are like totally cool going to sit at a restaurant and eat outdoors. And if that's you, that's fine. But I'm like, that's not going to be me anytime soon. Like, I don't need to eat out that badly, you know? And I love, like, we live here for that reason. Like, we live here so that we can do that. And I don't feel the urge to do it so badly that, I don't know, if it still feels risky to me, I'm not going to do it, you know?
Are you getting delivery?
Yeah, we still get takeout. We'll go to, the places that we're regulars at, and we get takeout from them. So they're not even having people like seated on there. The ones that even have actual patios aren't doing that. I think one of them finally started doing it again now. This is a child. He's large.
Look at him. He's big. Look at him.
He's a big boy.
When we were there, he was like right here. He's like in my hand. Like,
yeah.
He's a big boy now. Look at you,
he,
Wesley.
He looked like that. He was a teeny like that one over there in that picture.
Now he's now a large.
A chunky chunk.
You little chunker?
Huh.
No, chunky. You're not chunky. Don't let him tell you that.
He is.
Don't let him tell you that, Wesley. Do not put up with that.
I'm screenshotting these. Oh, yeah.
Baby. Whoa. It's not your wall.
Oh, no. What happened?
Oh, no.
What happened?
Oh, no.
Hey, what happened? Wesley. What happened?
It's the worst thing that's ever happened to him.
What?
It's the worst thing that's ever happened.
You're crazy, huh? Oh, baby boy.
We were thinking about that the other day when one of my other friend's kids had a little freak out over, I don't even remember what it was, something small. And they're like, I can't believe they're freaking out. I'm like, well, it's like the first bad thing to happen to them ever in their existence. So they're going to freak out. Like, what? This is bad. This is terrible.
Yeah. Our kids, they hate having dirty diapers.
I would too.
They also hate having their diapers changed. So almost worse than having dirty diapers. I don't know. So it's really hard to navigate that.
So. You know, you help me out, man. Like, I can't. I don't know what to do here.
You okay? Hi. Hi, baby boy.
Aww.
Yeah, there we go. Hi, Wesley.
I had to unplug my headphones. I think he was freaking out because he could see you guys, but couldn't hear anything.
Oh, maybe. Hi, Wesley. Hi, buddy.
Oh. Yeah.
I don't understand it.
Never stop doing this, ever. This is all they do, all the time.
What's the matter? Keep.
He's got to figure out how they work still.
What's the matter? He's freaking out.
It's 1 o'clock.
Nap time? Just nap time? Anyway, look, ours used to be that small, remember?
No.
Yes, you do.
I do not recall.
There he goes, out of frame.
Anyway.
That was fantastic.
Poor baby boy started freaking out.
Poor boy. Pobrecito.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Anyway. What were we saying?
Oh, as pandemic normalcy. Oh. I know for a lot of people, there's that, like, there just seems to be that general error. Some people are like, they're just done caring about it. So they're just going to do whatever they want to do, which I'm like, great. I'm like, that's how it gets worse. And we go backwards. And I like working. Like, I don't want to have to go back to not being able to. So I don't know.
We have a little quarantine. Oh.
Hi.
That was Selah.
A little cameo.
basically, like, we'll go over to my parents' house a lot.
Sure.
Because it's great in this, like, for us when they can just, like, watch the kids a little bit and we can actually get some naps in.
Yeah.
But, we don't do too much going out. It's pretty much like, okay, here are the people that we're kind of used to going and used to meeting. They don't really go see anybody, so we figure as long as we're just sort of like in this sort of same kind of clique, same little setting, then things should be fine. But going out where there's too many people always kind of makes me a little bit nervous.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a couple of times where we talked about, you know, like, oh, you know, it'd be cool to, like, just, you know, walk along the beach or something like that. And hopefully, I think, you know, when it gets like a little bit safer, we can do that. But I kind of get nervous about the people.
If you do, like, if that's something that you think that you want to do, or one of you wants to do, go to Torrey Pines.
Yeah,
because it's I did a shoot there last Wednesday. And I mean, you know, this is one day, it's just my experience. So I don't know, any given day could be different, but there were a decent amount of people there, but all very far apart from each other, like the entire time. And it didn't have that feeling that a lot of other places have had, where I felt like the anxiety of the crowd. I didn't feel that way at all there, even though there were, like, on paper, there were people there, but it didn't, you know, I didn't feel closed in or anything like that. So take it with a grain of sand.
With a grain of sand.
Yeah. I mean, there's still so much we don't know, like, about this thing, really. It's like, what's actually safe and what's actually not safe. Like, there are degrees of things that it's like, don't go coughing into somebody's face or vice versa. But, like, Matt, is it a huge problem to go to a grocery store? Like, we don't seem to think so, but who knows? I don't know. It's crazy.
Matt, what's your work future present look like?
Actually, that's kind of interesting. There's been a lot of changes that have happened with that. So I work for a company called PSAV, which, kind of a clunky name. It stands for Presentation Services Audiovisual. So what we do is we set up all of the AV for, like, conferences or meetings, expos in different hotels. I'm stationed at the Hyatt Mission Bay. But I mean, right now nobody's meeting, and so we're all furloughed. One big change is they're in the process of changing the name to, because they just acquired Encore, which is, like, kind of their biggest competitor here. So we're going to change the name to Encore because it sounds better. And also the San Diego region just got unionized. So they're working on a contract right now, but they're in negotiations. So that's going to be like those are, like, two huge big things. But I mean, as for me and everybody else, we're all furloughed. And they kept on, like, pushing it back and back. Also, the I think, like, the CEO stepped down. We just got word that the CEO of BSAV stepped down. So that's, I'm like, wow. So it's almost like a taste of SeaWorld. It's like I'm right back at SeaWorld. Well, it's funny too, because first they got, like, from their the people that own PSAV, forgot the company that did, but then they were bought out by Blackstone. So I'm like, oh, this is
SeaWorld.
So it's all kind of following that same path. But so we're all furloughed, and I think they're waiting to bring us back. At first it was, okay, we're going to just sort of keep you on, and we'll pay for all your benefits, which is great. But then I think once they realize, like, okay, we're not going to be coming back in June, then they said, okay, well, you can either keep your benefits or postpone them. But, you know, if you keep them, you'll have to pay your half now, which is understandable. But I think that they're kind of, like, realizing that nobody's really going to be coming back. It's not going to be how it was until maybe, like, I don't know, maybe next year. I have no idea. But they, like, officially kind of furloughed us. Like, they said, okay, we're going to be extending your furlough. So that's a bummer, but at least they're not, like, cutting us, which would be a real big bummer.
So I work for a company that is interesting at the moment. So there's that. Oh no, I can't hear anybody.
Say that one more time.
I said I work for a company that is going through some big changes right now. So there's that.
What sort of a post office weirdness have you experienced personally?
Nothing in my office, but Everyone keeps asking me, what's up with the post office? And I'm like, I don't know.
Dude, you're a mailman. You should know this, man.
Like, everything's business as usual where I work. They're not taking mailboxes and sorting machines away from San Diego.
Right.
They did shut down 7-something factories and fire 7 different people and turned the 9 regions that we had into 2 regions, and east and the west instead of all over the place. So there's definitely big things happening, but it's like, I don't know. And everyone's like, "Whoa!"
I would be very curious to see exactly where they did that stuff.
Right.
So, what was all that? I heard something crazy.
No, just people are wanting to know if they can still trust us with their ballots and stuff. And I'm like, yes.
Yeah.
Right.
Trust us with everything else.
You know, it's kind of interesting with this, with the whole, to get maybe a tinge of political, but just kind of going through the election process with PSAV, because there's like when a company wants to go union, or the workers want to go union, there's a whole election process that happens. And you have to get like a certain amount of votes. It's very much, you know, just like a regular election. But I do know one of the things is that the company did push to have in-person voting rather than mail-in voting. Because that was one of the things that that was like proposed earlier by like the union organizers and all that. So I said, well, let's have it all in mail. But it was pushed more and more to do in-person voting. And I'm wondering if like a tactic there is to kind of get less people to vote. And then, because if everybody gets the ballot sent to their house and all they need to do is mail them back. And I mean, I don't know how it is with like ballots when you're sending them in, but like we didn't have to put postage on it. So that wasn't even like a thing either. It was just like mail it, send it back in. So it just seems like, could this be a big tactic of like, ideally in an election, we do not want the mass of people, like we say, go out and vote, but we really don't want everybody to go vote if we're worried about the outcome.
Yep. That was, I think you might remember that from 13th. They had the clip of the guy from the Republican like planning meeting, or maybe it was Alec, was one of these right wing Republican meetings. Mm-hmm. And he was saying straight up that, like, in fact, our effectiveness in controlling this outcome goes down when voter participation goes up. We want less people to vote. And like, and it wasn't meant for everybody's ears, but it was meant for those ears in the room. And so, yeah, we're doomed, like, as a country. like, if we don't discover in large terms, large scale, our better angels, we're going to fall victim to our worst angels. And those worst angels just seem to be strutting right now. And so it's tough.
Yeah. We're still so young. But we should get our shit together.
Yeah, a little young for an empire to fall.
It's true.
I think that, like, this is, you know, I love America, the idea of America. But I really wonder if the karmic damage done to the country as a whole through its that it was really built on the idea that these people are inferior and human life isn't the same for everybody, even though our founding fathers put that in, you know, sort of say that in the declaration that all men are created equal. The practice wasn't the same, and the scarring from their choices, I don't know if we'll ever kind of recover from it, like as a country. I would like to think we can, but I just don't know. I don't know what the option would be either.
There isn't Russian. A willingness, or there doesn't seem to be a broad willingness to examine things.
Not right now.
In any sort of nuanced kind of way, right? So it's like, this is what the founding fathers wrote. This is what it means. All men are created equal. And it's like, but, you know, context and the humans that they actually were, the things that they actually did, you know, tell us otherwise. Like, that's
right.
You can't just take things at face value and ignore them, like ignore the context in which those things were said or written.
Yeah. But you can't just take a Catholic, church, precept or an idea that they promote and take that as the Catholic Church and ignore the fact that they've been raping children for decades and decades. Like, yeah. Sure, like the meaning as well, but you know, the reality is quite different. And it's the same way with America. Sure, everyone's created equal in our words, but the reality is that even when it was written, everyone wasn't equal. And we, you know, we're so young. You know, maybe we can get over it, but it needs to take a concentrated effort, I think, to to kind of focus on justice. I don't know. We also get taught that America's better than everybody else, and that just breeds these ideas of superiority, you know, that allow you to value some life different than others, which is another issue. But yeah, I've been going crazy. But
well, that's because everybody's going the world is going crazy and people can't stop getting shot.
Yeah. If they would only
That's why. Which I still don't want to see, by the way.
Me too. Me too. I always love it. He's probably my favorite filmmaker right now. So you know, but
definitely so we'll top see. Five for sure.
So has anyone seen Citizen Kane?
I have.
Not in a very long time, but yes.
I'm excited to see it. Like I may have seen it like 25 years ago stoned, and that means nothing. Like I couldn't tell you a single thing of, like a lot of things I've seen over the years. Like,
yeah,
you know, like unless it really grabs me and holds on to me, then I'll remember it.
Yeah, I watched it in college, so not 25 years ago, but at least 15, potentially 20.
I say
that's
no,
so much less long ago. Jesus Christ!
Cheesy, crazy.
Yeah, I was watching the Oliver Stone series about Untold. The untold history of the United States.
I watched that.
I think it's really good. I think it's like really like informative, and it's, you know, it's probably biased. Oliver Stone's biased, but it's intelligent and it feeds more information and it gives you like a broader appreciation for some of the world events that happened in the past. Dang, I don't know what the point was. Why I wanted to reference that. What were we talking about right before that?
Citizen Kane? Not getting shot.
Citizen Kane, yeah. Because they use
Citizen
Kane.
Yeah,
they use a story. they use a clip from Citizen Kane kind of describing some global events like Cuba and the history of Cuba there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and he's like, don't worry, you just give me the war, like the Hearst character is saying, don't you worry about that. You know, if you do this, I'll give you the war. And that was kind of, Oliver Stone tied it into events happening in Cuba in a way that was very, very interesting stuff. So So I in our circle of friends, like in our vast big circle of friends, the whole world is absolutely on its ear and don't know if it's ever going to stand up again. You know what I mean? Like for theater people, for musicians, for pretty much everyone we run with.
Yep.
It's a trip. It's a trip.
All the like event and wedding professionals I know are like,
yep.
What do I do?
There's a pandemic. There's race riots. There's now hurricanes. There's fires. There's all sorts. It's nuts. This year is bonkers, buku crazy.
Bring on the meteor.
It's so crazy.
Bring it on.
Did you see that NASA put one out? Their article about how there is one flying by on election night, but it's literally like a tiny little speck of dust.
It's like 6 feet. Yeah.
It's literally going to burn up. But like, they're just so funny. They're like sensationalizing it, being like, it's going to fly. It's going to potentially hit us. It's so funny. Oh, man. Yeah.
I vote cringy. Giant meteor 2020.
That's yes.
Well, that's the thing. Like, man, oh, man. I can't wait till this election's over, and then we can actually go back to start healing as a country. And
that's the hope.
And finding, just finding middle ground. Like, instead of like this whole nonsense that's been happening, just like, can we just have conversations and make it go back to a little rock of the boat instead of trying to capsize everybody and say that everyone sucks?
I want people to not take. That's not entirely 100% accurate. Taking societal problems personally, if I feel like there's this sense right now that if you feel a certain way about something and you don't know how to intelligently articulate your feelings on that thing, that hearing someone else speak confidently and intelligently about it feels like an attack on you, on, you know, the royal you, and that people are reacting badly to that, just all over the place in all kinds of ways. And I don't know what the solution to that is, or even if there is one.
It seems like with everything, once you are educated about it, like someone had a shirt or a meme or something and said, for example, that racism was a conscious choice to remain ignorant. And I think that almost every single example you've ever had in those type of things, that it's easier to maintain these ideas of superiority or racism or difference or generalized, you know, prejudice, without any experience in actually interacting with folks of this group that you're marginalizing. Mm-hmm. And so once you do, then it changes for you. And what, so that educate, that little bit of education really changes your perspective on how you view it. And inevitably you come out of it. My Aunt Jean this morning lives in the East Coast, and she's my father's brother's wife. So my uncle's wife, and they're in an interracial marriage as well. Mm-hmm. And so he and my dad and our families were all kind of at the same time and similar. So she gave us a talk this morning from her Universalist church, and was telling stories about her experience with her family, dealing with, marrying outside of her race. And, it was a trip to hear, because her father, who I remember when I was little, I didn't know that he was against it. Like he was opposed to it. When I met him, it was already, he had already had grandchildren. And when he had the grandchildren, something kind of clicked for him that like, these are my grandchildren, and there's no other job that I have than to love them. So he felt like his job as a parent was given a second chance as a job of to do better as a grandparent than he did as a parent. But it was an almost immeasurable progress that he made of enlightenment, you know, of seeing things in a way that's not limiting, pigeonholed ways of seeing the world. Mm-hmm. So I think a little bit of experience at a time, you know, as much as we can. Like I can't stress how much I think that the movie 13th has helped just expand people's perspective of why we have the racial strife that we have. Because before it was kind of like, it just doesn't make sense. I don't get it. You know? And then you're like, oh, wait a minute. I see throughout history, there's been a systematic set of prejudice and discrimination throughout our system the entire time. And it certainly makes a lot more sense that way. And you can kind of grasp it. So that's what I hope to do with my fucking energy, is to try to create this type of content and that is effective enough to reach people to like say, here's something. And it's not going to be like this, you know, it's not going to be by beating them up and insulting them. So, that's my, yeah. I'm counting on you, Rich. I plan on doing a lot of this, you know, in the future.
Don't pin all the hopes on that. Yeah. I'm working hard at it, but
I'll be like, go get him, Rich.
You're getting like, all the eyeballs on.
Get up and get here. Yeah.
The dream.
So. Yep. The open arms method works a lot better than the burn it to the ground method. And unfortunately, we're still in the burn it to the ground method right now. And it's upsetting, but I mean, what else?
I don't.
What else you got? Like, it's.
I don't blame people.
Right.
Like, I really don't. And I said this to I got a message from a guy I worked with at the safari park, you know, like 10 years ago. Someone who I hadn't thought about in 10 years, and it was a response to something that I shared on Instagram. And I think it might have just been, I don't know if it was just here's what's happening in Wisconsin or something. It was something from a couple of days ago. And he took it as me like advocating for violence. And I was like, I went back through every post that I posted that day. I was like, I don't see anywhere where I'm advocating for violence. But now that you've brought it up, let me tell you all the myriad of things that, you know, me and people like me have been doing for decades in order to try to get this message across. Like, people make art, they make music, they make movies, we make documentaries, we have long poignant conversations, we become fucking president, like we do all kinds of shit to make people understand that there's a problem here.
You kneel at a football game,
right? Kneel at a football game, all kinds of things, and they don't get it. People seem to be responding to the violence, responding positively, maybe not, but responding. So I don't know.
That's the reality, and that's a real fucking tough like ethical like quandary, because like we know that like the reason that Martin Luther King and everybody went to Selma was because the Selma police were going to react in a violent way. Like they chose specifically for that reason in order for this to happen. So when I was at the WTO riots, March, I wasn't part in the riots, I shouldn't say. But when WTO was happening in Seattle in 1999, and we were so angry at the folks who were breaking windows, and these were like, it's like the same story right now. It's anarchists from Eugene coming up, and who their morality, their sense of what's right and wrong is such that they feel that this is even though it's in the small picture, it's an evil thing to do, but that by breaking this window and creating a scene that's going to cause attention, that they are doing more good for the cause than by peacefully protesting that people could easily ignore. So it's hard. It's really hard to try to do it right and actually have it be effective, you know, and still stay nonviolent and still have your ethics, you know, about how you're going to interact. So
yeah, I mean, I can I can name five pieces of amazing art that's like, oh, if everybody just watches this or listens to this or reads this, it'll fix everything. Mm-hmm. And those, most of those things were widely popular. Like when Donald Glover made This Is America and it became a viral sensation, I was like, oh, if people like really read into the message of this, they're going to get it. Like they're going to understand. And then, you know, it just went by the wayside. Like Roots in the 80s, right? Like Roots airing on TV was a big freaking deal. And it's like, oh man, if people just read about this and really understand it and look at the historical nuance and like what happened, like it'll fix everything. Then it didn't. And it just probably all of these did, things, though. It probably made, I mean, some like, changes, yeah, but people still getting shot.
It's true.
Still getting shot.
It's true.
For nothing. And then you have, you know, just this wildly juxtaposed response in the same city by the same police department. Here you have one person who, you know, from all accounts and what seems to be visibly happening is retreating and walking away from you and doesn't appear to be any sort of threat. And he gets shot 7 times. And in this other instance, you have someone who just killed two people. Puts his hands up and is like, and is still armed for in every realm of watching this person, like obviously some sort of threat, right? Just let him walk right on by. No big deal. And like, you can't
give him a water bottle while you're at it.
Give him some water. Tell him you're glad. Before they said, we're glad to have you boys here. Like really? Nobody, I don't understand how anybody can look at that and tell me there isn't a huge, huge problem here. Like it's the same place, the same department. Like, come on.
Yeah. Yep. Ugh.
Well, and the other one where the kid who like literally like charged the cop and like stole the guy's car. It was like not at the same time frame, but there's another video of another like white kid who's like one-on-one with a cop in the same department. And like he charges at him and like runs at him and he's like hitting him in the face. And then he gets in the guy's cop car and tries to drive away. Like all this other stuff that this kid's doing. And the cop never draws his gun. Doesn't even take it out of the holster. Yeah.
That's neat.
It's crazy. This world sucks. And hopefully soon it can be better.
Because boogity boo. Scary.
Stop being so scary.
Oh my god.
Yep. Hopefully it'll be better.
This is why I drink.
You know, funny, speaking about drinking,
yes.
It's so interesting that during this whole shutdown and Jared, you probably feel a little bit, well, yeah, you're home and so with your kids so much anyway, but it's like a little bit of missing out on the quarantining of
I got 0% of it. Zero. And it's dumb and it's you know, speaking from a place of privilege where I still have my job and I work and earn money, but I'm super jealous that I didn't get to stay home ever. Like,
yeah.
My buddy
Will was furloughed and his kid was just born. It was like 2 months old when everything started. So well, like, I kind of got to be home for like all of this, which is kind of cool.
Yeah. And like removing the kid aspect from it, like I want to be able to sit around and watch movies and play video games and like work in my wood shop and like do all the things that I don't quote have time to do because I'm working my life away.
Right.
It's like, dang it. But at the same time, it's like, I can't say that out loud because
right.
People are struggling with no money sitting on, you know, not getting their unemployment checks and all this stuff because they can't work where I'm working. Yeah. But it's like, oh, dang it. So I feel like a total jackass saying that I want to be quarantined.
It's like, I want to play Hollow Knight. By the way, I just got Hollow Knight and it's awesome. Haven't I gotten this game before?
What is that?
Game about? For the Switch. You're like this little bug dude in this insect kingdom and it's just one of the most stylish like games that I've played in years. It's incredible. An incredible game. And it's like $15. And they keep making new content for it for free. Like I can't. That's amazing.
Yeah.
If we had more people with that mindset, it's like we have this great thing. we're going to release the thing and then we're just going to make it better and just keep making it better and keep making it better. If we had that same mindset with a lot of the other shit we have to deal with, we'd be in a better world. It's like, we've made our money. Let's just keep making it awesome. I love that.
So, Jared, you know, there are times, a lot of times where I vision, you know, like really throughout a lot of this stuff for like me. So I've been just digging in and embracing it, you know, sometimes too much about not drinking, but and just enjoying your day off and enjoying the time off and still at the same time trying to be productive. But hey, there's nothing I can do about it. I may as well have fun and enjoy myself. So, so I found out how much I enjoyed early on putting whiskey in my coffee and it just mixed so well. And it was such a, like a morning, like a morning, like, ooh, hey. And then to the point where I'm like, this is dangerous. Like, this is dangerous. So I just
DJ calls whiskey. Up Ireland on the phone. Do you guys know about this?
I used to bartend.
This is awesome.
I had regulars who drank whiskey in their coffee. They would just get coffee, mm-hmm. and they say, you know, give me, you know, and I'll take, you know, coffee with a pop. Let me get a pop of bourbon in there. Mm-hmm. And so, and I remember pouring it, and they were all fine. They weren't like drunks, you know, but it's the morning time, you know, and so it's like it's weird, and it was just so enjoyable that it frightened me, because I, you know, as much of a weed problem as I've had in my life, I've never wanted to have an alcohol problem. Like, I've just, that's just like something that, like, and it's never really been a thing, for the most part. Like, you know, I'll drink when we have a podcast, or I'll drink when we have a show, you know, but even then I don't, you know, do it that much. So, but it was like, I could get into this habit and wreck myself. I could see this in no time. So there's no whiskey in my house right now.
Balance, my friend.
For sure.
Yeah, it's crazy. The whole thing's crazy. And then, like you said, just wanting to go out, and like Samantha and I went out for her birthday to this little hole in the wall restaurant that's here in La Mesa. It's this little Italian place. They literally had six tables outside that were very like spaced apart. We mm-hmm. sat down and we're like enjoying the meal, and we're like, this is weird. Like, it's weird that we're here in the situation that we're in, but it's also weird that we hadn't been out to eat in this year, like since before Wesley was born. Like, the last time we went out to eat was probably for our anniversary of our wedding, which was in November of 2019.
Yeah.
And it's like, weird. We haven't gone out in 8 months. Like, we've gone to drive through or whatever, but like, we haven't gone out and like sat down and like had a glass of wine. And it was just, the whole thing was super surreal. We're like, this is bizarro.
Mm-hmm. We're holding out for, like, once there's, you know, whatever the new safe normal is, and we can go get sushi again. That's going to be our thing. That's what Lindsay wants to do. So we're just going to hold out so we can go to a sushi restaurant and sit and do all those things that you're supposed to do when you have sushi.
Right.
Like, that sounds great.
Enjoy, talk to somebody and like, it'll watch them interact with you.
I've ever had. Yeah. Yeah. Because I love, that's one of my favorite things, is going out to places. And like, 25% of why I do what I do is because I get to meet new people and talk to people and interact with people. Like, I like humans. Like, I do, as frustrating as they are. I like humans.
Yeah.
It sucks to not to be able to interact in the ways that we're all used to doing.
Yep.
So it goes.
We've been just straight up binging so much stuff over here. Especially just with like having all these crazy baby feeding schedules, we'll just hang out and just kill shows. I went through, we went through The Office, another run of The Office, which at first I was like, man, those, especially in that past, like that very last season, it gets like really clunky. And was kind of my reason for why I was thinking, I like Parks and Rec. Like, I think, like, as a show, it's more solid. But The Office is just awesome. But I think I went back to being like, no, okay, it's the way that The Office was done was handled so well. And they also were kind of like the first ones to do it. So there's a lot of, not the first one, but one of the first. And so I think that that group that kind of went on to make all the other, like Parks and Rec, and then like, you know, shows like Modern Family, all learned it from The Office. So they're like, okay, maybe we shouldn't do like the whole Jim and Pam relationship thing, like with a bunch of different people. We won't do that in our next show. Or we'll, you know, expand on more stories. But man, just like with so many bad series finales, there's a really good series finale. It's like, these are like, they did this masterfully. It's insane.
Yep.
But now we're on to Community. And it's really nice because both of us had seen The Office. So it was just like a nice little rewatch to have in the background. Serena has not. She's watching it with fresh eyes, and I'm like, she's loving it. I'm loving watching it with her.
That at some show. Point, at some point, you're going to get to Matt Davis's episode.
Yes,
of Community, and that'll be fun. That'll be fun. Like, I know that guy. So,
We just saw the episode that had Mike McCafferty in it.
Right.
Which was like in that season was the one, two.
The Pulp Fiction, like the
Pulp Fiction and My Dinner with Andre. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Who was another Sea Lion and Otter guy.
He's a bit, but now was he a Biff or was it someone else?
He was someone a Wan else? Ho.
Oh, Wan Ho. Okay.
So yeah, he and Matt Thompson were together doing Marooned.
And that was Wan, those, that was the Wan Ho character that.
Yeah. That was like the Biff character was Wan Ho and, yeah. It was a girl, Heidi Ho.
That's so funny that they would have a girl named Heidi Ho. Like, that's just, that's just like shocking to me.
Nope, that's the one, like, that's one of the things that I haven't got to do is like sit around and watch stuff. Cause like when I get home from work, it's like, okay, well, quick, make dinner, quick, now feed the kid. Now, okay, now put the kid to bed. Now, wait, well, we have to go to sleep because we have to be up at 5:30. So, crap. There's literally no time for anything. I miss entertainment that's not Mickey Mouse Clubhouse.
Well, it's too bad because Cobra Kai is on Netflix now, so that's fun to watch again. And then they'll add a third season. So apparently YouTube has stopped all like scripted entertainment.
Oh wow!
So, yeah, so I just saw a thing on the internet with an interview with William Zabka. And he was saying that they had they wanted to go to Netflix in the first place, but they just kind of got outbid by YouTube, and then YouTube decided that their format to try to produce their own shows, I guess, wasn't working for them. So if only they had a giant company to kind of fall back on that support them through this tough time.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Or just stay where you're at and let stuff be free.
Yeah.
Like your platform is so successful because it's free. Like,
oh yeah.
And anybody can put stuff there. That's what makes YouTube great.
Yeah. Yep.
Not let's do a scripted comedy. Wait, yeah. What? You guys are in a movie studio. You guys are independent. Like, yeah, it's weird.
How fun has Tony's pool party been? That's my favorite. That's the only reason that I like going to Facebook now.
That's the only thing I go to Facebook for.
Yeah.
And to like respond Facebook, to notifications.
Facebook has been so sad. It just like has been putting me in a real big funk just with everybody just being so like toxic. But for some reason, yeah, Tony's pool party. Thank you so much for that. I know it gets pretty heated in there. You know, we had the whole Big Bang Theory thing. Poor Spaz.
It started. What was the first one? Was the villains one, right? That was the first one. Now it's TV. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Man, oh man, I was in the villains one hardcore.
I was too.
I was campaigning left and right for the ones that I wanted to win. And now it's pointless because there's so many people in there that are all like-minded.
A million years old.
And I'm like, Futurama is clearly a better show than the Jetsons. Like, 1,000% better.
Yeah.
Like, 1,000%
objectively measurable metric.
I think that inevitably there's going to be who has seen what. Like, you know, more people have seen The Office than Community, even if you could argue intelligently that Community is a better show.
Did he even put Community on there?
Yeah.
They did.
It lost way early.
I don't even know if I even saw that ever.
Yeah.
But it all comes down to who's seen what. Like, you know, and so when it gets big enough, and I think we crossed the line at some point with as many people that are in there, that at some point now it's just every poll comes down to viewership, like who's seen what, you know, as opposed to quality. And so it's all good. It's all for fun. And I really enjoy when people campaign. I love it when they campaign for it. Like, I want to hear it. I want to hear what they have to say. Sell me on it. Especially if I've seen them both and I'm on the fence. Like, I want to hear pitches. And there are some passionate pitches. I love it.
Oh, yeah.
I can bullshit about some TV.
That's right.
I passionately dislike Chuck Lorre shows. So.
Now,
we saw that.
I read that.
I was like, that's like the snarkiest I think I've ever seen Matt be. Yeah. It wasn't even that snarky.
He did right, Big Bang. He did 2.5 Men.
Did he do 2 Broke Girls?
Yep.
All the CBS sitcoms. And it's just weird because it's all like set. I feel like the shows and like the format have like progressed this new kind of medium of we're not going to have like a live studio audience at least. And he kind of stayed there with all of his shows, which I think kind of worked out because maybe this is too broad of a brush, but it seems like CBS caters to a very certain like demographic of people that aren't necessarily like into change. Or I mean, I know CBS was like the last to jump on board with like putting their stuff on the internet. So, and then when they did, it was like they locked it down with their all access, but they never did anything like Hulu. They were never a part of that. So I think it seems like because that was the safer choice to go with what people already knew for you know decades and decades of having the 3-camera sitcom with the laugh track to tell you when to laugh. That's kind of what they went with there, where it's been like years and years and they've already been doing things like Community and The Office and Parks and Rec and Modern Family or even like Scrubs where there's no like studio audience like telling you when to laugh, which I think is a huge testament to how good your show is. If you can get audience to laugh and not give them a clue when they're supposed to laugh, then
what was Big Bang Theory up against that we were all arguing?
Good Place.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, that's exactly what it was. It was a Good Place. All right. Okay. Yes.
Ooh. And I'm like, what? Are you kidding me?
It beat The Good Place, didn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Travesty.
Yeah.
But that's good. It's good to see Tony embracing. It's funny. There are lots of things where it's like, you want to do this. Like, this is what you want to do. And so it's just nice to see him doing it. Like he wants to have his podcasts and his, you know, shows and his polls and stuff like that, it makes me happy.
Yeah.
It makes me happy.
Keep on doing it.
Yeah.
Now is the time.
Put some he's working the whole time too, of course. And luckily is a source of me working every occasionally as well.
I just meant now's the time to put positivity or fun into the world.
Oh, for sure.
Like, dude, if you can be distracted by arguing who's better, Voldemort or Darth Vader, like I'll sit there and argue the hell out of that. Instead of
who are you voting for?
Well, I'm voting for Voldemort. No, that's not what I meant. Well, that's who I'm voting for. So.
So you're voting for Biden?
touche.
Well, speaking of that, there is a episode that we saw of Community where back then it was Vice President Biden was going to, they're going to take him to the school. And then like at the very end of the episode, you just like see the, so it's obviously not him, but they just like show like the back of his head where it's supposed to be him. They're like on the way and they're like, oh yeah, sorry, we have to go to another school. So we're going to have to bypass Greendale. And he's like, what? Whatever. I was just having this dream where I was just regular president.
Yeah.
That's like, yeah. Oh, maybe.
Yeah. Let's hope.
It's crazy. So. Crazy times. Well, I can't go on for much longer because I have stuff to do today, but
I can't go want on.
To mention one last thing, not to totally end on a downer, but Chadwick Boseman, man, what the hell? That
oh yeah, is a
big old shock. And
did anybody know? I mean, so nobody knew, because I was wondering if this was just me. I was like, I didn't even hear that he had cancer.
Nobody
knew. Yeah, so.
And it's crazy, because, like, if you Google his name, or if you did that night, because, like, as soon as I found out, I was like, no, I don't know about this. And I Googled it, and I looked everywhere. And until I saw it on his Twitter, I didn't want to, you know, actually believe it. But when in the process of searching, like, there's articles from, like, a couple years ago of like, what's up with Chadwick Boseman? And like, you see a picture of him like as Black Panther, and then him looking all skinny and like sickly ish, like
really
side by sides. Yeah. And they're like, what's going on? And so they're like, people were speculating and stuff, but it was never public knowledge as far as I was aware, as far as most people were aware. And so like, it just literally came out of nowhere. And the fact that he did all of those movies with stage 4 colon cancer is like,
that's insane.
It's like, you know,
that is a feat.
Thank you for your, you know, sacrifice and work and stuff, because good Lord, I can't imagine doing anything.
Did he have family and kids?
He was married. I don't know if he had children or not. Yeah, I don't think so.
But that was such a bummer. I got that notification and I was like, I don't know. What? No, I don't know.
It's super sad.
Yeah.
It's sad too. And then like, sad. Of course, the one like Jared feeling bad about not working not being able to not work, I should say, on some level we kind of look at it and go, oh man, I was looking forward to Black Panther 2 and further Black Panther stories. Sure. And so I gotta be curious what they're gonna do with the franchise. So
yeah, I wonder if they're gonna hand it, because is it Shuri?
Yep.
Doesn't she become Black Panther at some point?
She does, yeah. They'll probably fast track that now.
Yeah, so either they'll recast them like with both Edward Norton and the guy who is the original War Machine.
Terrence
Michael
Howard.
Jordan.
Terrence? Yeah, or
Michael Jordan. No?
Terrence Howard.
War Machine from Iron Man, who Don Cheadle took over for. So yeah, Terrence Howard. So they could either just recast them like that, like they have been doing, or they could fast track that the whole Shuri story.
I
don't think they will.
I would hope that they would just be like, you know what, we have a perfect movie with him in it, and he's a good add. He adds to these other films. We probably don't necessarily need to make another one.
Yeah,
but they're a you know, money hungry super mega corporation, right, BJ?
You better believe it.
And so they're probably going to try and make as many as they possibly can, but it would behoove them, I would think, to be like, you know what, let's let him rest at peace as well.
Yeah,
but who knows,
for sure.
Anyway, like I said, I didn't really want to end on that big of a downer, but
mine, it happened.
It is something that happened. And if we are
part of our world right now,
sort of pretending to be this show,
like, well, you did it anyway. So.
Oh, goodness, well, it happened.
It is what it is. So.
It is what it is. That's the phrase of the year.
And that is what it is.
Oh, goodness. Goodness.
Oh,
me.
Boy.
Well,
so see you in 6 months.
Yeah, sounds about right. But it was really fun. I hope we do this again soon, whether it's the same old show that we have been doing about, you know, really fun little pop culture stuff, or we do something else, mm-hmm. or something else. Who knows? But
the world is wide open. Yeah,
I'm glad we did this today.
Yeah. I've got several in the chamber for the future, by the way.
There you go.
Because
cool.
Joel Schumacher, I mean, he passed away, but there is a little ode that I wanted to do for him.
Nice.
And then there's the whole, like, Princess and the Frog at Disneyland is taking over. Remember with the whole
Splash Mountain?
Yeah, Splash Mountain thing that when I did the Song of the South review,
right?
And just kind of mentioned, like, oh, well,
there's a whole,
they're ride. Never going to change Splash Mountain, and then now, yeah,
they did,
and there it is.
Yeah,
but yeah, so there's a lot there.
Yeah,
right on.
So, cool. Well, thanks guys for entertaining me and letting me set this up and do it again. And yeah, thanks out there if you're listening or watching or whatever you're doing. But let's get out of here. This has been Life's a Binge. I'm Jared.
I'm BJ.
I am Rich.
And I'm Matt.
And we'll see you.
We'll
never.
See you
somewhere. I don't know.
See you never.
See you on the other. See you on the other side. Yes.
Yeah. See you on the other side of the war.
Oh boy.
Bye.
Bye, Jones.
Oh no, I didn't want to do that. Stop. Okay, I'm leaving. Okay, bye.
Bye.
Bye.